Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, 10 minutes now after 1 o'clock, and we have a guest host in, Attorney Cabranes. I guess that open there was kind of a liar. Our guest is Thomas Durkin, and of course we're joined by Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. Everybody, how you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Now, first of all, let's see why our guy is AWOL. What's going on? I think I heard something about a high school reunion.
Yes, they're doing an unofficial high school reunion out in California. I believe he's in San Diego or somewhere close to that area. You know, hopefully the weather is nice, better out there than it is here.
Yeah, it would be hard not to.
He's having a great time. Yeah, I know.
And you said, what did you say? Apparently, like, could there be some sort of conspiracy going on?
For what?
Or is that just a lawyer thing?
That's just a lawyer.
Apparently he is. And our guest host, Attorney Thomas Durkin of Becker, French & Durkin. Attorney Durkin, how are you? Thanks for joining us again.
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. So I guess we're going to throw this open to just about any subject. We're going to talk about what everybody does here, and then we'll expect some phone calls. 634-9756. That's 634-9756, 634-WRJN is the phone number here. Pretty much anything is full game or fair game. Why don't we start with our associate attorneys, Shanaz and Jordan. What do you guys do with Attorney Cabranes? What do you specialize in? What are you doing over there?
We are doing family law, criminal traffic, criminal offense, and immigration law. We do some small claims, so evictions. That pretty much covers it.
Yeah. That's a lot. What do you see the most in your office, Shanaz?
Well, for me personally, I think majority of my cases are family law cases. And then that would be followed up by criminal traffic and then some immigration. Mm-hmm. We do some small claims like the evictions and other stuff, but mostly it's family law for me.
Great. If anybody wants to call the Cabranes Law Office, it is 262-638-0529, and we'll throw your number out there as well, Attorney Durkin. Now, Becker, French, and Durkin, if I remember right, last time we talked a lot about personal injury, that sort of thing, workman's comp, Social Security, that's sort of law, is that right?
That's correct, and that's what we specialize in is personal injury, Social Security disability, and also work-related injuries.
Mm-hmm. So anybody out there, if you have, we've pretty much covered the gambit here. Anybody want to give us a call, we can handle it. 634-9756. You know, we always start with what's going to change now that we have President Trump in office. Are you guys affected in any way by some of the things he's talked about changing or...
Well, I mean, we've been extremely busy recently, you know, with a lot of people that are coming to us who are just afraid of what's going to happen to them, especially, you know, considering immigration and all that other and that area.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to that. We got a quick phone call here. Hi, caller. You're on WRJN Cabranes Law Hour. How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I was married for quite a few years, 30.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. And I pay family support, and that she's getting basically alimony and then my child support for 4 more years. And a year and a half ago, she was in a car accident.
She
got hurt, of course. Broke her leg and her wrist, and... it was the other person's fault, and she's a friend of mine said, "Hey, I see her on C-SCAP or something like this, where she's suing these people." And then I asked my daughter, and oh yeah, mom's going to. They got a settlement coming up, and she's gonna, of course, get money for that. Now, with her getting money now and getting a chunk of money, 40, 50 grand, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be a pretty good chunk. You figure if you break your leg and your wrist and all of that, shouldn't I have to not pay her child support no more?
Hmm.
No.
Or spousal support?
Child support you have to pay until the child is 18.
Regardless of what kind of income
regardless
she has?
Of any money that your wife receives for that sort of a thing. Spousal support, usually if you've been married for 30 years, there's really not much. I mean, I don't think her getting a settlement's going to take that away from her. Maybe you can try, I'm not sure, but the child support for sure you have to pay. You are supposed to also provide for your child until they reach the age of 18.
Well, she's even got a thing going on. Well, the kid, my son, don't graduate till he's 19 because we held him back a year. So she's like, no, you got to keep paying until he's 19. And then when we went into the court, my payment to her, now they got it as family support. But I guess when he's 19 and he graduates high school, the money that they said I got to pay her indefinitely.
Well, you said till 18, right?
Are you talking about the spousal family support?
She's going to get support.
So
they're
what...
saying now it's family support. And then, of course, when the child support's over with, I said, well, do I still got to pay her? And they said, yes, sir, you have to pay her indefinitely.
Right. There's two different things that you're paying for. You're paying for the child support, and then it sounds like the alimony. So the child support should end when the child turns 18. However, the family support is going to be up to the court's determination, which apparently they said indefinitely.
You can definitely try to, file a motion to get that, have the court reconsider that maybe when, you find out that she does get money from the settlement, but, I would think that it would be a very large burden for you to prove in order for the court to change anything in that sense.
So one thing I don't get is why is this guy on the hook like indefinitely or not? I mean, isn't there a hard and fast rule or what?
It's probably because of the length of the marriage. So if your wife, there obviously if there's one, either the husband or the wife or one party, that makes less money or maybe wasn't working, after a marriage just for like about 30 years long, that the other spouse should have, it's called like maintenance. You maintain that person's lifestyle, and that's probably why that they've said that you owe her indefinitely because of the length of the marriage, and also maybe she is unable to support herself because maybe she wasn't working all this time during the marriage, or she was earning a lot less than you were.
She wasn't working.
Well, there you have
there
it.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, let me jump in a little. This is Tom Durkin and play a little devil's advocate just to keep the conversation going here. All right, so let's say, hypothetically, of course, because we don't know the numbers, let's say she comes into a decent sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, say it's somewhere in the neighborhood, 30, 40, could be 80,000.
Yeah, you said 50 to 80. Yep.
Under that scenario, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of spousal support at that point?
Well, that's what the caller's saying.
Because why would she need it anymore? It's different if she doesn't have anything coming in. And say that if it's 30,000, 40,000, whatever it is, she could invest that. She could extend that out longer. So wouldn't that be a basis or at least grounds to go back into the court and say, you know what, it's not needed anymore. It's not necessary because she's coming into money. So if I look at it from the other side, I think that, it doesn't serve a purpose anymore because I don't want to say it's double dipping, but she's getting money that's coming in, and why would she need spousal support anymore?
Right, and that's why he would have to file that motion to modify the family support or maintenance before anything would change, and he'd have to take that up in front of the judge or the family court commissioner.
So, so caller, it looks like you gotta get in there and fight a little bit.
So, in other words, his recourse would probably be to, number one, make sure that, don't put the cart in front of the horse, and make sure that she's actually got something coming in before mm-hmm. he does anything. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, he would want to file a motion with whatever, wherever the court was mm-hmm. that heard it, to modify the spousal support, and at that point to try to put a cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be probably
right,
that what he'd want to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got that,
okay,
caller?
So then you're saying that when I find out she got the money, then take her back to court then.
Right.
Sounds like it.
And now, but, you know, I'd caution you, if it's only a few thousand dollars, you're probably not going to get much relief from the court. But if it is a sizable amount of money, then, you know, I think circumstances have changed.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. All right. Well, good luck, caller. Thanks for the call today.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. I think maybe that's not exactly what he wanted to hear, but it sounds like everything's just not set in stone. It's kind of fluid. What does she make? What kind of job does she have? How long has she worked or not worked? All that kind of information.
All that stuff, yep.
Yeah,
our factors at the court.
Yeah, there's a statute that they look at that they determine what, I guess, how people can live.
Or how comfortably they can live.
Yeah.
Right.
And can't child support go past the age of 18? Say, in other words, if the child doesn't finish high school,
it can. I think it's up until college or something, or when they enroll in college. I think it could go past 18.
So 18 is definitely not necessarily the cutoff.
Right.
Isn't it sort of like it's either 18 or when they complete high school, whatever is later?
Correct. Well, that's what the caller said, because the kid was held back.
Right.
So it would be 19.
Yeah, if he graduates at 19, then it would be 19 for that, yes.
This is a Cabranes Law Hour, 634-WRJN is the phone number. Just about anything is fair game. We have a guest host in for the Cabranes Law Hour. It's Thomas Durkin. He's an attorney with Becker, French, and Durkin. Their phone number, if you're too bashful to give us a call today, is 633-7530. That's 633-7530. If you'd like to call the office of Attorney Cabranes, that number is 638-0529, 638-0529. Of course, our number here, give us a yell, 634-WRJN. Pretty simple. And so what do you see the most in your office, Attorney Durkin?
In terms of just...
Yeah, what do you do the most?
I would say as an office, it's probably personal injury. I do my share of that. I also do a lot of Social Security disability work and workers' comp. I mean, the three areas as well. There's maybe been a little bit of a downswing on the workers' compensation, only because for a number of reasons. Number one, with the new technology, there's less workers.
And less physical work.
Less physical work. Mm-hmm. And in the area, we've seen kind of a downswing too in terms of the economy, and jobs have been affected. So there's just not as many industries and businesses and factories as there may have been 10 or 15 years ago. So, I mean, it's still there, but just not as great as it was perhaps 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So give us a call. There are many things that we could discuss today. 634-9756. You also mentioned Social Security law. What does that entail? Because I know nothing about that.
Well, what I do, and sometimes people will ask me about things like, well, what about retirement and early retirement? Can I get 100% or is it 80%? I try to tell them, although I know a little bit about it, not my area. What I'm talking about is Social Security disability. In other words, a person has a disability, whatever that disability may be, that prevents them from working.
Mm-hmm.
And then based upon that, they would file for what's called Social Security disability or supplemental security income. But it has to be based on a disability that prevents the person from working.
Right. All right, well, you know the number, 634-9756. That's 634-9756 or WRJN. Our guests today, associate attorneys from Cabranes Law, Shanaz Lakhdawala and Jordan Schrader, and along with our guest host, Thomas Durkin. Now, we talked about, before we went on air a little bit, we always want to see, stir up the muck a little bit and see if President Trump is causing big problems. You said really doesn't affect anything that you guys work with.
It's except affecting
possibly
immigration.
The Social Security a little bit and immigration, obviously.
Yeah. So with immigration, it's affecting that. And then also it kind of goes into the criminal part, because if these illegal immigrants have any kind of a criminal record, even criminal traffic, there's a lot of driving without license that could potentially affect someone. And since they're going for people or looking for people who have criminal records, that's going to affect a lot of people as mm-hmm. well.
But I keep hearing that there's really nothing concrete that has changed because that got held up by the courts, and there's really not anything in place at this point.
So the laws that are already in place have not changed, but the way that the laws are being implemented has become more strict, like with Department of Homeland Security and, you know, just ICE, you know, Immigration, Customs, Border Patrol, whatever. They're becoming more rigid with the laws that are already in place. The laws haven't changed, but they are now, you know, I guess, I just heard recently that someone went to court for a completely non-criminal civil matter. Oh, mm-hmm. Sorry, I see we have a call.
Yeah, we have a call. Hey, caller, you're on WRJN, the Cabranes Law Hour. How are you?
Fine. I had a question relative to Social Security. You know, yeah, on TV you say, well, you're always guaranteed $250 of Social Security when a person dies. My mother-in-law passed away, and we never got $250 from Social Security. Was there something that we did not do to get it?
First, do you have a little more detail? Because I'm not actually aware of that, and I've never actually heard that.
Okay.
Like a death benefit?
Exactly. That's what it was. The mother-in-law passed away. And when we went to the funeral home and did all our stuff, for some reason we didn't, nor did he say anything about getting that $250 from Social Security.
There is what's called survivor benefits, and there's a test that Social Security goes through to determine whether somebody would actually be entitled to survivor benefits. I just haven't heard that $250 number as being the only thing that you would be entitled to get. And so I don't know that there would have been anything that you could have done. I mean, there's a test, a formula that Social Security normally goes through to see if somebody can bring a survivor's claim. And usually it's off of the deceased person's work record.
Well, see, I was wondering if it was relative to only being her alone and not having any children with her or anything like that. She was living by herself, and I was just wondering if that was the reason for us not getting it.
It is. It could potentially, because there is a linear-type test where they go through and they determine, all right, first, does the deceased person have a surviving spouse? Next, does the deceased person have, if not a spouse, are there any surviving children? And then they go on and on down a list to see who would have standing or who would be able to bring a claim. And if there is no one that has, in the legal world, it's called standing, to bring a claim, then there is nobody that would be able to make a recovery, essentially.
Well, would the funeral home normally do that? Because I've never heard of anybody else doing that.
Not usually. I think your recourse here, to follow up on it, is you would probably have to contact our local Social Security office to see and ask, make an inquiry as to whether they would look into that.
Oh, okay.
That's over on,
right,
if you don't know where it's at, it's over on Durand Avenue.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's right across from that mall area there or something.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
thanks,
you.
Thanks, caller. Good luck. Bye-bye. It's the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. One thing I always wondered, if you say, now, not just Social Security, but you have wills, you have Social Security, we have all these vehicles in place to take, you know, to help people after we pass away. How does all that get started? I mean, if I pass away, my kids don't know what exactly to do. I mean, what do you do when somebody passes away and you need to start talking about benefits and all that kind of stuff?
Well, there's the point I brought up earlier about people asking me about retirement and things like that. That is outside of my area, and I learned a long time ago, when people ask me about things outside of my area, I'd say, you know what, I'd rather give you no advice than wrong advice.
Right. I suppose so, you just need to talk to your attorney. We got a call. Hi, caller. You're on WRJN. What can we do for you today?
I got a question on employment law. Is that something you might be able to help with?
Maybe. It depends on the question.
We're going to go with a yes to find out different.
I filed a claim, a discrimination claim, but somebody said to file an awaited review when you get your response. What would a awaited review be?
I think, first of all, tell us about your claim and what caused it and why you filed and what's going on with that.
Okay. It was for discrimination for diabetes.
That you couldn't get a job because you had diabetes?
No, I had it, but it was getting me too much, and I asked for some restrictions, and they didn't grant them.
Okay.
So would your claim have been under the ADA?
Yes.
All right. Did you file it with the EEOC?
The EEOC, but then I was told to do a weighted review, and I was wondering what a weighted review was.
Weighted, like
W-E-I-G-H-T? I haven't gotten a response yet.
Yeah, in my limited experience in that area, I have not actually heard of a weighted review. My understanding normally is you file, the process is essentially started with the EEOC, and then they have to make what's called a probable cause determination, and that would be after they do investigation of, they talk to both sides essentially. So have you filed that initial complaint, so to speak?
Yes, I'm just waiting for a response from them, and I haven't heard.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what a weighted review or weighted whatever you said was. I haven't heard of it before. And, you know, maybe you might have to just do some research on your own on that, only because it's not something that I've seen before.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. And just a quick one on the caller before with the 250. I may be wrong for Social Security, but I think that was for military personnel.
Yeah, because none of us have heard of that. That exact number, anyway.
If you served in the military, you get a 250. And I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is. Hmm.
So it'd be a veterans type benefit.
Yeah, it's a veterans benefit.
Okay. Well, thanks, caller, and good luck with your situation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of falls into your bailiwick of people having issues at work, that sort of thing. I mean, now was she going just up to her employer? Is that what she's talking about? To try to get some benefits or something? I still wasn't really positive on what her issue was.
My understanding was that she had diabetes, and it was probably, if I'm not mistaken, best estimate, interfering with her ability to do the job, and she needed some form of restrictions from her employer.
Right.
You know, sometimes people with diabetes, you can get the low or you can get the high blood sugars, and then you may need to take a break. That may have been a possibility to be able to have to take a break, especially if you have to do the insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those could have been some of the factors, and the employer was not willing to accommodate that. And when you get into that, you get into the area of the, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act,
mm-hmm.
and whether that falls under a disability there.
Okay. 634-WRJN, that's the phone number here. We need to break quick. We're going to go to Tom Carco for local news, check our weather forecast. We'll come back, take some more phone calls. Again, that's 634-9756. If you'd like to call the Office of Attorney Cabranes directly, that's 262-638-0529. Our guest host today is Attorney Thomas Durkin of Becker French and Durkin. They're here in Racine. 633-7530 for them. 633-7530. We'll be back with more of the Cabranes Law Hour in just a few moments here on WRJN. Thanks for having us on today.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. All right, that out of the way, this is the Cabranes Law Hour. We are back, 634-9756, that's 634-WRJN. Our guest host is Thomas Durkin, Attorney Durkin from Becker, French, and Durkin here in Racine. Their phone number 633-7530. And Attorney Durkin, thanks again for joining us as Attorney Cabranes is out frolicking at his high school reunion.
Well, thanks for having us here and or having me here, and that is a serious disclaimer. That's good, though.
Well, you got to do it. You got to stay covered, and you lawyers should certainly understand that, right?
It's called CYA.
That's right. So one thing, we were talking off the air, something that I thought would be interested to maybe jumpstart the second half of the program, is you were saying some pretty interesting stuff about the immigration situation and how things could be changing down the road as the laws or you know, travel bans and all that kind of stuff. Let's pick that up, if we could.
Sure. I actually think Shanaz was about to say something about someone who got picked up in civil.
Right. So I recently heard about, you know, this woman who was fighting a domestic violence issue, and she was there as a witness, I believe. And then as soon as the case had ended, she got picked up by ICE and is now facing deportation because she was undocumented. So I think, you know, we're getting a lot of phone calls from our clients or potential people who are just afraid of what's happening. I had a client last week who came in, you know, I believe their daughter has DACA, which is deferred action for childhood arrivals, and they're not letting her go to school because they're just so afraid that, you know, she may get picked up on the way home from school. And although I'd like to say that it's not happening, I have heard that it has happened. So, you know, and then I had another DACA kid who, he had his biometrics interview scheduled for yesterday, and he called in a frenzy saying, you know, will ICE get me while I'm there? Because technically DACA is not status. It just gives, you know, kids who were brought here before the age of 16 the ability to work legally in the country, but they don't have any status. So there is a lot of fear, and I honestly go home every day, and there's so many people that I can't help, and it does take a toll on me. Because I feel like I'm a little helpless. You know, people come in with all these questions, but there really isn't much we can do for them right now because the laws haven't changed. But the laws that are in place are just being
a little more vigilant.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit more. They're enforcing them a little bit more stringently.
You mentioned an acronym, I think it was ICE, did you say?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Help me out here because I have no idea what that means.
It's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I believe.
Okay.
Border Enforcement.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I know on national news, well, not that long after this whole thing started, there was people that were here 20, 30 years, have homes, even though, and their kids are in schools, like you said, and they're being shooed out. They're being deported.
Right. And that's why, you know, in the climate that we're facing right now with immigration and all the uncertainty around what's going to happen for people who have basically, you know, established their lives here, have businesses, own property, and their children are U.S. citizens, in a scenario where both mom and dad are facing deportation, who's going to take care of their kids? Who's going to, you know, be there for their family, look after their property, their children's well-being, and all that other stuff? We are offering services for that, so people can come in and, you know, have kind of have on file. It's a G28, which allows us just the ability to look into why maybe they were picked up and what their situation is. Also, we're offering power of attorneys right now, which should they need it, we will have it on file. They can keep it with them if they wish. But, you know, who's going to take over their property should something like this happen to them? Also, we're doing guardianship, which I know Jordan is kind of leading that part, so I'll let her talk more about the guardianship petitions that we're trying to gather for people.
So how, you know, I'm so naive when it comes to a lot of this, but how does someone own a home, own a business, have kids that are enrolled in school, yet they're not legally a citizen? How do you get to this point with homes and businesses and all that if you're not a citizen? I don't understand.
What do you mean?
How could you not be a citizen in this country yet own a home here and have a business?
Well, even if they don't own a home per se in their name, they've paid maybe cash, someone else maybe owns the home. That's just the way it's going right now. But they can very well own businesses and have stuff like that. Property is a little, you know, they can't own property in their name, I think. But mm-hmm. Businesses and stuff, they can.
Let me jump in and ask a couple questions.
Sure.
Let's say that, what's the process if somebody does get picked up? Because obviously there's a lot of fear out there. So are they arrested and then released shortly thereafter? Or are they just given a ticket, so to speak? Do they have to go meet with somebody? So in other words, just so that people kind of understand what happens if something does happen to you.
Sure. So when you do get picked up by ICE, it's not, your release is not guaranteed. You may just be detained until you get your day in front of an immigration judge. Usually what happens is if someone is picked up by the Immigration Customs and Border Enforcement Agency, then, you know, if we have a family member call us, we have a G-28 signed, which is basically gives us the authority to look into why they're being detained or what their situation is. And then we can file a bond motion to get them out on a bond, or and even if that's even possible. I mean, it depends on each person's case is different. If this person maybe has even like an OWI or something, that may be reason enough not to let him out on a bond, and then he'll be in a detention facility or in, you know.
So it sounds
until
like
he gets in front of an immigration judge.
It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, this, the power of attorney and the guardianship, just with the uncertainty of the climate out here, is pretty important.
It is.
Because if I'm not mistaken, it may be too late. You can't come back and do it mm-hmm. if something happens mm-hmm. and you are deported. Then at that point it's too late and you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly, which so is why
would,
we're offering.
So that would be a good plug for the Cabranes Law Office.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of it now.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes, and I find this in what I do, and I'm sure it happens in all areas of the law, or sometimes people wait until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
What's done has already been done, and they can't undo it or they can't fix it at that point. So this guardianship, power of attorney, is pretty important if someone has any concerns to do before something before
right.
hopefully nothing happens, but
exactly.
to have it done and have mm-hmm. it on file. So, you know, almost like getting a will done, so to speak.
Right.
And although property is important, the guardianship, I think, is also really important, just because if you don't have someone you want to take over as guardian, then the government's going to take over. And
so we're talking
and
guardianship
more than likely
of
those
your
kids.
Kids
are going to end up in
yes.
foster care or something like that.
So I'm here not quite legally, and I get deported. So now your guardianship, you're talking about who takes care of the kids that are left behind, because they don't automatically go with the
no.
parents.
No, they don't.
The parents can take them with them, but they're U.S. citizens, so they can't be just sent away. So you would need to have something in place for them.
Could you just maybe explain what a G-28 is a little bit more?
Sure. A G-28 form is, you're giving a right. It could be an attorney. It could be some sort of accredited official that gets to know what's going on with your immigration-related issues. And you have to sign it. You're basically giving, in this case, us, the attorneys, the ability to contact ICE or contact USCIS, United States Immigration Services Office,
mm-hmm.
The ability to figure out what's going on with your case. And that's a huge deal. A lot of times we have to go run around, and I mean, if someone gets picked up and they don't already have a G-28, we have to get there, have them sign it, and then we can figure out what's going on. This way, if you have us fill out a G-28 for us and sign it, the moment you need it, we can file it with USCIS, and we can come to know right away what's going on with your situation.
So is that something that's almost like family planning in a different kind of a way, that estate planning in a different kind of way? It can all be done at once?
The G-28 is only for immigration stuff, so it's not
But that's what I mean. If someone was to have some concerns, you could do the G28, the power of attorney. You could deal with the guardianship. You could do all that at once. It doesn't have to necessarily be done separately.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Attorney Cabranes isn't here. This is a Cabranes Law Hour, but Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, and a lot of the work that you do is immigration. That's why I've kind of went in this direction. Are you seeing business pick up in this regard for these kind of issues that we're talking about right now? Are people going, oh, I need to get that done?
Yes, definitely. I think ever since Attorney Cabranes has started this, you know, this package, I guess, that we're doing, the G28, the power of attorney, and the guardianship petitions, just to have them on file. A lot of people, that's what they were looking for, that's what they need. And now that someone's telling them, oh, yeah, you can set this up, we have seen business pick up, especially for the power of attorneys.
Because no one knows what's going to happen.
It's sort of peace of mind for a lot of our clients, I think.
Okay. Now, we were talking about guardianship, and Jordan Schrader is going to fill us in a little bit more what's involved there, Attorney or Associate Attorney Schrader. What do you do with that? I mean, what's the procedure?
Sure. So guardianship is just going to be another form that we help you fill out, and you also need to let the guardian, the person you want to be the guardian of your child, know so that they can also sign the form. And that we would be filling out for people who are worried if they get picked up by ICE. You know, they're worried for their children, for where they're going to go. So we file that with the court so that the children aren't just going to some random, you know, foster care home. They're going to with someone you know and trust.
That was going to be my question. Is it they go into the system, government systems, foster care, that sort of thing?
Well, what would happen
if you're
not
prepared?
Right. Yes. So what would happen is, let's say mom and dad, or, you know, so in a single family home, mom is being detained for and is facing deportation. The state would automatically file a termination of parental rights for that, a CHIPS action. CHIPS action for that child, and then and essentially that child would probably end up in some sort of foster home or something like that. But what would happen is if we had if you had a petition for guardianship with us, what we could do is we can intervene, let the state know that, you know, can we do a temporary guardianship because this person is going to petition for guardianship of these children or this child. And most of the time they will let us do that or give us time to do that before they actually start the CHIPS action. So it would benefit definitely to have this there. It gives us a tool to bargain with.
Well, I mean, how many people don't have a will and they go, you're going to go on a vacation or something and not bring the kids? These things should be done, but they often don't get done, do they?
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody just talked to me about that this week. They're getting ready to go out of the country. Exact scenario. We don't have a will. We're getting ready to leave the country. We need to get one done beforehand.
Right.
Do you know of anybody that can help us? So very, very similar situation.
Well, the first will that we ever got, we've made changes over the years and stuff. I mean, my kids are out of college now. But the attorney was like, are you by any chance taking a vacation without the kids? Yes, we just happen to be. Some other changes coming down the road with our new president, something that you can address, Attorney Durkin, which is some Social Security changes, from what I understand.
Well, we don't know yet. I guess much like everything else, we're not sure yet. But, you know, in terms of Social Security, it is, despite what you may hear or not hear, it is really not president specific. He doesn't necessarily have much of an effect on the process on actual claims, because claims are decided by judges, and judges bring their own background, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of administrative law judges out there, more like thousands, hearing claims. So they bring their own individual background. So it's really not, the president really doesn't have an effect in that way. But where the president does have a direct effect on is funding. So in other words, for example, if the president, whoever it may be, decides that they are going to not defund, but substantially cut back and make the government in the Social Security disability area operate with less funds than what they have, then that will have a direct impact on the processing, the timing of processing of claims. I can tell you from doing a lot of this work and being at hearings all the time. Claims are processed very slowly right now. I can only imagine if cutbacks happen, hopefully they will not, and the process slows up even more. Right now, it's actually getting better as of now, but this is fluid. This changes quite a bit. At one point a few years ago, it was taking just to get your hearing. In other words, to get in front of a judge for the judge to determine whether you meet the standard or the definition of disability, it was averaging about 18 months.
Whoa.
Yeah, and when I meet with people, and I just met with someone this morning, and I said, look, I'm the messenger here. I don't set how long it takes, but I have to deal with it, so I'm just going to tell it to you like it is. It really is taking that long, and it comes as a shock. And when you think about it, most people who have filed for disability don't have a lot of funds to begin with. Mm-hmm. They're tapping into, friends, family members, 401ks, whatever they can just to survive. I have clients living in the streets, cars, homeless shelters, family, friends, temporary, couch to couch, waiting for their hearing. I've actually had clients pass away waiting for their hearings.
Yeah, 18 months for somebody that's already down on their luck and running out of money is mm-hmm. forever.
Oh, it's just awful. And I can only imagine if the system were to get worse.
So what? Why these long waits? Is it undermanned? Is it the gears move so slow? Why is that? Is there a reason?
Well, let's take Milwaukee, because Social Security is set out region by region. Milwaukee is a region much like Chicago is a region. The reason for the backlog in Milwaukee is several reasons for it. Number one, we have administrative law judges that seem to leave our office quite a bit. So we can't keep any constant or just the same judges. And when one judge leaves, that affects hundreds, if not thousands, of cases. Someone has to pick up on that. Somebody has to pick up the slack. They have to get another judge in there. Well, guess what? Another judge doesn't come in the next day and just pick right up.
Yeah.
It takes months to get a judge in. They have to go through judge training. They have to get approval for it. So right there, by one judge leaving, you're causing delay of hundreds, if not thousands, of claims. We have judges that have come and go. There used to be a rule where a judge had to stay in a particular location for a longer time. They then changed it to make it 3 months. They've now changed it back again so that I heard that it's up to like 18 months, because what was happening is, take in particular one judge who came to us, two judges, off the top of my head, came to us from Phoenix and from Colorado. Grew up in Phoenix most of her life. Grew up in Colorado. Well, where do you think those judges are now? After that 90 days went up, they're back in Colorado and Phoenix because mm-hmm. they didn't want to stay here. That affected hundreds, if not thousands, of claims. The funding, if they don't have enough judges and they don't have enough staff to process claims, claims get backlogged and they slow down. The amount of claims has gone up. So in other words, there was at one point over 10,000 claims in Milwaukee. We routinely have, or we sometimes will have, between 10 and 15 administrative law judges. Do the math. They can only hear so many cases per day, and that means that it's going to move slowly. What Milwaukee did, because of the tremendous backlog, they started referring cases out to other jurisdictions. And by that, Social Security is federal, so they have referred cases out to, for example, Livonia, Michigan. I've got a lot of cases referred out, and I've had many hearings with judges on a video screen. You're sitting in the hearing room, the judge is on a video screen, so a bit like a big TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge appears, you can hear, you can talk to him or her, she can talk to you, but it's all done through video. And that's to help with the backlog. There's a National Hearing Center in St. Louis that has taken on a bunch of cases as well. So we've had to get other jurisdictions to help us with the backlog. And I can tell you this, and I hope it doesn't change, I've actually seen progress. Where sometimes I was going without a lot of hearings, I'm getting a lot of hearings now. I mean, they are getting set often and a lot, which is good, because then it means my clients don't have to continue to wait. They don't have to wait forever to get their hearings. So that's some of the things that they're doing to try to reduce and get on top of the backlog. But if the funding is going to get cut, and time will tell whether it gets cut or not, we could be back to where we were at before with the backlog. The backlog can generate quickly. You can get yourself above water, and then all of a sudden, if something happens, you'll be right back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when you talk about these hearings, what are people doing? They're proving that I am disabled, so I should get these funds. Is that generally what we're talking about?
Yeah, that would be the simplified version.
Yeah,
of
very simple
what occurs.
For me. Believe me.
Yes, I mean yes. You go to a hearing in front of an administrative law judge. It's generally an informal process, and the judge will make the determination whether you meet the standard of disability or not. And that's really what it comes down to in its simplest way.
Mm-hmm. How long do the hearings generally take?
The hearing itself would last here's how I look at it. If the judge knows what they're doing, if I run a hearing efficiently myself, and so does the judge, it should take an hour. If you get to what you need to get to, you're organized, you're prepared, it should take an hour. Okay.
Now we're talking about people having all their documentation from their doctors and everything.
All your ducks in a row.
Everything that you should. But it always goes that way, right?
Well, yeah. You got to have all your ducks in a row. That's the way I look at it.
Right.
And you need to present your case in a succinct fashion, organized manner, and get it in and get it what you need to get, and the judge does as well. Now, there are some judges that I've had hearings that have run 3.5-4 hours. Unbelievably. I don't know how we can go over the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
But it happens. There's one judge in particular who I withdrew from a case, and it took him a half an hour to let me withdraw.
Holy cow.
Most other judges, that would have been a 5-minute deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I look at it as if everything runs the way it's supposed to, you should be able to get your hearing done in an hour. Could go a little shorter. Mm-hmm. I've had judges run hearings as short as 15 minutes. Now, do you feel like you've got your day in court in 15 minutes? I'm not so sure.
Well, it depends on the outcome, I guess.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
If it goes your way, then great. If it doesn't, not so great.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting stuff. I think we're just about out of time, guys. I want to thank Attorney Durkin, Thomas Durkin from Becker, French & Durkin, pinch hitting for Attorney Cabranes today. Of course, Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let me run these phone numbers by real quick. If you want to call the office of Attorney Cabranes, it's 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. And if you would like to contact Becker, French, and Durkin, they are 262-633-7530. Again, that's 262-633-7530. This is the Cabranes Law Hour.
Let me just jump in and add something real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got immigration things and you're concerned, get to the Cabranes Law Office and get your stuff done now before it's too late.
Yeah.
Don't wait. We talked about some things that you could do. Do them now.
Do them. Mm-hmm. Do them. Because things could change down the road, couldn't they, guys?
Yep, they can change it with a blink of an eye.
Okay, one more time. Cabranes Law Office, 262-638-0529. Thanks, everybody. We'll do it again next week.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend, WRJN.